All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and when you find your place, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Now, we were in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning for Sunday school, and it was good, and enjoyed it, man, immensely enjoyed it. But we're going to be in Ephesians 5 this morning. We're going to just read one verse of Scripture, and we're going to preach something that the Lord laid on my heart several days ago. And it's just been a thought in the back of my mind. And then as we began to just search the Lord out, I feel like this is the direction He had us to go in. And we hope that it's a blessing to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, Father, we humbly and prayerfully again ask Your blessings on Your Word, that it may minister to the people that which You intend for it to, and all that's done, we'll be sure to give You the praise. In Your name we ask. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. At first glance, the believer comes to this passage and assumes that they're talking about a lost person in need of salvation. They do so because back in chapter 2 and verse 1, He gives you the spiritual condition of a lost soul in this age, because He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." If you've been here for Sunday school at all, then you realize that in chapter 2, He's discussing with you first the condition, the present condition of a lost individual, and then in the end of the chapter, He gives you the saved individual and its relation to the unity of the body of Christ, which is where we ended this morning. But whenever you study this passage that you're in here in chapter 5, one thing you're going to understand is, taking the doctrinal viewpoint of this passage, you have to back up to chapter 6 to realize He's not talking to a lost individual in need of salvation. He's talking to a saved individual who has fallen asleep on God. Because in verse 6 of chapter 5, He says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." But look at what He says. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." With who? With the children of disobedience. He's giving you a division here. He says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And then He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." So you see here, He's talking to somebody that's already saved. They're already born again. But this person has fell asleep on God, because in 14, "Wherefore He saith." Why? Because you're a child of light. You're not a part of the children of disobedience. But He says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." So the first thing you need to recognize is that the believer, though very much alive in Jesus Christ, has the ability and capability of becoming compared to a dead person when they fall asleep on God. Say, what are you talking about? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." So it's perfectly possible to be alive in Christ, but you've got a dead, deadness to you, because there's a numbness. There's fallen asleep. He says in Revelations 3:1, He's writing to the church over in Sardis, and He says, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead." He says, now He's not talking about dead spiritually. He said, "You're alive, thou livest." He said, but the thing about it is He said, you're asleep at the wheel. Amen. The car's cranked, it's on the road, but the driver is asleep at the wheel. And that's the case of a lot of saved people right now. What do we liken the sleep that they're into? Well, I mean, people use a whole lot of things when it comes to comparing what you sleep to. Like what? Man, they said, "Man, I slept like a log." Well, what does that mean? Well, I think of a log, I think, well, it was a stiff night. A lot of rolling around. A lot of log roll, a lot of rolling around, not a whole lot of resting. Case of a lot of Christians. A lot of, you know, I'm stiff, preacher. I'm asleep on God and I've got stiff. That's what it'll cause. Another one you hear a lot is, I slept like a rock. As in what? Didn't move. I got my place in the bed and I didn't move. Boy, have you ever had one of those nights? You ever woke up from one of those nights? You get up and you start to shift and you're like, oh, I must have slept in the same spot all night long because my neck is as stiff as it can be. You know, the Lord talked to Israel about being stiff-necked. Amen. We're talking about the condition of Christians that have fallen asleep on God. You know another one they say? Man, he slept like a baby. What is that? No care, no fear, no worry, no danger. Laid down in the perfect peace and solemnity. Why? Because you're under the protection, you're under the care and the watch of the Master. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 4 and verse 8, He said, I will therefore lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. And a lot of Christians, beloved, have fallen asleep at the wheel, though. They've fallen asleep on God. Now, what do we do? Well, when I found myself studying on this, one of the things I started asking myself is about different individuals in the Word of God about whenever they fell asleep. Because you read a lot about that in the Bible. And you find out, and I started asking myself, okay, where were they when they were sleeping? Where were they sleeping at? I mean, what time of the day was it when they were sleeping? What did they see when they woke up? See, these are just things that have been rolling around in my head this morning. And whenever the things that go on, I mean, when we take our example for how we judge ourselves and measure ourselves, the Bible says we examine ourselves. We're supposed to do a self-examination. But you can't examine yourself and compare yourself to somebody else because the Bible says that if you compare yourself among yourself, you're not wise. What do I compare myself to? You compare yourself to this book. And how do I do that? I take the examples God gave me through people in this book. I can't judge myself according to what I see in you. I'll come out smelling like a white mushroom in some cases and come out smelling like a rotten one in another case. But if I compare myself to what the Bible says and the people that God has put in this book, then I can get an accurate viewpoint of where I am and my relationship with Jesus Christ and henceforth can see where I'm sleeping, what time of the day have I fell asleep in, and should I open my eyes, what can I expect to see? All right, let's look at this. I want to see, first of all, we might find ourselves slumbering just like old Jacob did. Go ahead and turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 28 this morning. Genesis chapter 28, keep your hand there in Ephesians 5. We will be coming back to it. But in Genesis 28, you've got the account of Jacob over here on the mountain, and he's fled from the face of Esau, his brother. Now, we preached on him last week. But whenever you get over here and start to looking at Jacob is fleeing away from Esau and he's on his way to Padan Aram by the order of his mother and his father, and he goes over here, but the Bible says, Genesis 28, verse 11, it says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Says, and he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Skip on down to verse 16. I want you to see what happens. He tells him, the Lord tells him, he says, listen, this is the covenant I made with your father. This is the same covenant I'm going to make with you. I'm going to multiply your seed. I'm going to give you this land. But look at what happens when Jacob wakes up in verse 16. It says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. Boy, I'd sure hate to miss a meeting with God because I was asleep. I'd sure hate to find myself opening my eyes only to know that the Lord had stopped by my way. He had knocked on my heart's door. He stopped by my church's way. He had knocked on my church's door, and they let Him in and had a great time. But I was too asleep to know that He was there. I'd hate to know that, beloved. He says in verse 17, and he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? What, my goodness, a place where the Lord showed up, a place where God came down and met with His people. He says it's a dreadful place. He was afraid. And the Bible says in the end of 17, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. See, he was associating the fact that he met with God to be connected to a place that he met God. He said, well, if
I met God at this place, I'll come back and I'll meet Him at this place again. But listen, the blessing that you and I have in being a child of God through Jesus Christ is I don't have to be in a certain place to meet with God. I can meet with God anywhere I want to meet with God. I can meet with God on my couch. I can meet with God in my bedroom. I can meet with God at work. I can meet with God in my truck. I can meet Him anywhere.
And a lot of people fell asleep on God. See, he associates the fact that the place that he met God was something special. Now listen, I'm not demeaning the place of the special places that we have where we meet with the Lord. Because there's places where I go that are just special places for me. But see, the thing about Jacob here is Jacob's meeting with the Lord in a place, and he finds it to be a place of, that's special to him, that he takes, and this is what happens, he takes what is being used as his comfort. Do you see how he did? You see what he did there? He said he laid a rock up for his pillow, and he had slept on a rock, and he took the rock that he slept on and set it up in the place and anointed it as a pillar of what? A place where God met with me. At a place where what I thought was, come on, how many of you are going to get comfort sleeping on a rock for a pillow? But you know what I find? I find even in the places where I don't understand why I'm there, how I got there, or why this was the place where God wanted me to make a pit stop, even in the times when what I think is supposed to be used as my comfort, God uses it as His appointments. And He'll show up. But see, Jacob's asleep on God. What you being in Christ, you can meet the Lord anywhere. Why? Because according to John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, you've got the door. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the door. And you have the door. You have the door inside of you. What did David say? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I want to be a doorkeeper. Listen, you are what David wanted to be. You are a doorkeeper. Do you know why the problem with Christians has gotten so bad? Because the doorkeepers have fallen asleep at their post. And people are walking by, and as people are walking by, you've got the Lord outside, and He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, but the doorkeepers are not opening the door. Because they fell asleep on God. You might also find a slumbering situation like that of old Samson, because Samson over in Judges 16 winds up waking with his head in the lap of sin. He finds his head laid in the lap of deceit because he's deceived by his own flesh. He's deceived in thinking that what he's doing and how he's this life that he has with this woman, Delilah, this is what he wants. This is what I really want. And his flesh has got him so deceived that he can't see beyond the fact that on three different occasions that woman asked him where the source of his strength lie. And he tried to tell her and it wasn't the truth, but she still did what he said and then called the Philistines. You'd think after about the second time, he thought, you know, I'm not so sure I want to lay down and sleep in your lap anymore. Amen. You want me to tell you something? Listen, he was deceived by his flesh, but he was awoke only to see that he was faced with the enemies that were summoned by the one in whose lap he placed his trust. And let me tell you what's so important to realize about this. Because as a man was laying in the lap of sin, he was exposed to anything at all. You want me to tell you, if you're going to ever expose yourself, you need the best place you can be like John. Have your head laid on the breast of the Lord. Why is that? Well, whenever they were sitting around the table, if you study Oriental culture, and back in that day, they didn't sit in chairs around a table. The table was low to the ground, and they sat on pillows. Some of them sprawled out. Some of them stretched their legs out. But the Bible says that John had his head laid on the breast of the Lord. So what do you see? Well, even if the Lord was sitting up and maybe reclined back or whatever it might have been, here's John with his legs out one way and his head over here laying on the chest of the Lord. Just like a child would its mother. And what you see there is you see John completely exposing himself and all of his vulnerability to the complete protection of the one whose breast he had his head laid on. But with Samson, he had his head laid in the lap of sin. Same exposure, but under much more danger. And some people, that's the case that they're in. They have fallen asleep, but their head fell asleep in the lap of sin. Why? Because they put their trust at a place where somebody didn't care about their spiritual well-being. Why do you say that? Because the source of Samson's strength came from the long hair he had because he was a Nazirite. And his strength came from the Lord because of that long hair and that vow that he had vowed. And the lap of sin was seeking to take that strength away. And beloved, a lot of Christians have laid down in the lap of sin and they're losing their footing. They're losing their strength. The longer they lay in that lap, the longer they're staying, they're losing their strength. And one of these days, they're going to open their eyes and realize that they're faced by thousands of the Lord's enemies only that have been, and because they've been summoned by the one in whose lap they've been laying. Amen. Maybe like the disciples over in Gethsemane, over in Mark chapter 14, where they're wearied from following. And the Lord goes to pray and they're sitting there and they fall asleep. And then finally the Lord comes and He says, rest and take your sleep for the hours at hand. Or maybe it's the case where, like some people, like young Samuel over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, whenever he was called upon by the Lord for ministry, but he was laying there asleep. I mean, how many people do you think miss the call of the Lord on their life because they're laying there sleeping? And the voice of the Lord's calling, Samuel, he jumped right up and ran to Eli. What do you want? He said, I didn't call you. Finally, the old backslid preacher, Eli, discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. He said, the next time you hear him call, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You know what happened? The next time the Lord called, he didn't run to Eli. He laid right there and, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And here arose the first prophet to the king in Israel. Because the first king in Israel was Saul, anointed by Samuel. What kind of a calling would the people of God miss? Because they keep laying their head on the pillow and don't want to get up. Asleep at the wheel. A lot of Christians. Now, the Lord gives a message, and I'm going to get through this here kind of quick. I got about six things I want to give you. All that other stuff was introduction. Amen. I got about six things I want to give you. I'm not going to take a long time to get through them. But I want to tell you that the Lord gives a message. You're back in Ephesians 5. Because in 14, it's the Lord that's calling. He says, awake thou that sleepest. And the Lord is doing this. This is His message for the people that are asleep because He does this in love. How do you know that? Because He wouldn't say awake to anybody if it wasn't the kindest thing He could say to them. What He's talking about, it's the same situation that a loving mother with a soft voice speaks to her child and lulls the child to sleep. But the same love and the same mother speaks to the child to awake the child out of its sleeping to get it out of a house that's on fire. I'm going to tell you something. I walked upstairs this morning. There my little one laid in the crib. I was getting my stuff together to get myself dressed. And Heather says, would you mind bringing her down? You know what I didn't do? Hey! I do that sometimes. I'll bounce the bed. She'll be boom, 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 boom. It's funny. Because then that little drunk look, the eyes rolling around, then she looks at me, give? You know what I did? I walked up there this morning, I reached my hand over in that crib, and I rubbed her right there on the side of her little face. And I rubbed her on the back, and I said, hey, sweetheart. I said, it's time to get up. We got to go to church. Well, that head popped up, and she, go! But you know, it'd be different if the house was burning down around me. I wouldn't be leaning over and saying, come on, baby, time to wake up. No, the house is burning down. Hey! It doesn't mean I love you any less. It's because I love you that I'm telling you, wake up! And listen, the Lord is trying to speak to the church today. He's trying to speak to them now. Why? The house is burning down around us. The world is going to hell in a handbag. And the Christians have fallen asleep at the door. And people are wanting to escape. They're wanting to get out. But the Christians have blocked the doorway because they fell asleep on God. And God's shaking them saying, wake up! People need to get out. People need a way to escape. But you're blocking the doorway. Say, I'll just get out of the way. You can't get out of the way. Because when you move, the door moves with you. Because you have the door inside. I'll just get out of their way. They can get out the door. No, they're going to have to come through you because you've got the door. And if you don't open the door for them, they're not going to escape. They're not going to escape. In His wisdom, as well as His love, is that's what's making Him say it. Why? It makes Him shake you and it makes Him shake me and He shakes us awake, and it's His love and His wisdom that does it. Why? Because He sees what we're missing while we're asleep. Somebody talked to me the other day. Man, did you feel that earthquake? Nope. I ain't felt any of them. Every earthquake that has ever happened in this area, I have never felt it. Why do they always happen at night? Say, now this one happened in broad daylight. Well, I must have been moving faster than you because I didn't feel nothing. If I was driving down the road, the shocks on my truck just took it right up. I didn't feel a thing. But see, the thing is the Lord looks and He sees everything we're missing. And He says, you're missing out on so much. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. But see, another thing is it's a voice that you and I need to learn. It's a voice that we need to really begin to discern ourselves. Why? And it's because you and I need to be using the same voice. Telling other people, hey, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Say, what makes me capable of saying that to somebody? The power and spirit behind which it was said to you. Amen. The power and the spirit behind which it was said to you. Wake up. You're asleep at the wheel. I'll tell you a story one time, and it's just a grace of God that something didn't happen. But when I lived down there in Pensacola, I was driving a truck for K&J. It was a company that I worked for while I was down there. I averaged 650 miles a day driving for them people. I had a little old single cab Chevy 1500 with a pipe rack on top. And I'd load in Pensacola, and the first place I'd go was Mobile, Alabama, and I'd unload there and load back up, and then it was Gulfport, Mississippi, or Jackson, Mississippi, or come all the way back across the other side of Pensacola and go to Tallahassee or go to St. Mark's or go to Thomasville, Georgia. I mean, I was 9 and 10 hours and 12 hours a day on the road every day, Monday to Friday and sometimes on Saturday, 650 miles a day. They was putting a new set of tires on my truck about every 2 to 3 months. How much I was running. And one day I was heading down Interstate 10, heading towards Mobile, and I was almost to the bridge where you cross the bay over into Mobile. David knows what I'm talking about. And I was almost to the bridge. I hadn't quite got there yet. I was almost there. And all of a sudden, I hear behind me a siren. Well, I look in the rearview mirror, and there's a truck behind me that's got yellow lights. It's not a cop. It's not an emergency vehicle. It's an escort vehicle. And it's got yellow lights going. And I'm like, oh, he must need me to move, so I swap lanes. Well, he's over in the other lane behind me and hits the siren again. And when I look in the mirror at the driver, he's going... So I ease back over in the right-hand lane, ease off onto the shoulder and slow down, and he pulls right in behind me. And he walks up and he knocks on the window, and I roll the window down, and he says, are you all right? And I said, I'm fine. And he goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. Why? And he said, well, and he just about to turn around, and when he did, this big rig with something that they were hauling, whatever that big, huge thing, he was escorting that rig. And that thing, whoosh, and it blew by us. And he said, you see that big thing? And I said, yeah. And he said, that thing nearly killed you. I said, what do you mean? He said, you must have been sleeping at the wheel. He said, because that thing was, he said, you came up on us. And he said, you didn't, swap lanes to try to go around us. He said, you were all over the road. He said, it's a wonder you, he said, our guy had to run off on the median to keep from you hitting him. He said, you must have been asleep at the wheel. There ain't no telling how long I did that for. But whenever I got around that guy, apparently when I got around that guy and went on up the road, that guy, the escort, come around and flew up there and he flagged me down. Why? He said, you're dangerous. You're going to cause somebody to get hurt. And that's what a lot of Christians are right now. You know what they're going to cause? They're going to cause somebody to get hurt. They're either going to hurt some other Christian, or they're going to get hurt, or they're going to hurt some lost person. And that lost person's going to miss out on eternity because some Christian got sleepy behind the wheel and fell asleep on God. It's a voice that whenever it's calling out to us, it's something that's often got to be repeated. I mean, you think about it, how many times the Lord will have to shake you awake. I mean, I think about some of these young people, and I mean, I've done camps and everything. We go to that camp up there in Buck Creek, and whenever we would up the first few years that we did that, I mean, good Lord, getting them kids to go down and getting them kids to get up. I mean, my heavens. I told Lonnie Barnes, I said, next year, I said, when we ring the bell to get them up, the ones that ain't up, I'm not going and knocking. I'm not going and hollering. I'm dragging the garden hose out, and I'm going to crack open the zipper, and I'm just going to, and I'm going to fill that inside of that tent. They will wake up. Lonnie said, do what you got to do, preacher. I mean, we'd spend the night with them, but I tell you, them kids, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, sitting in there. And me and Heather always had to put our tent between the girls' side and the boys' side. Girls be over there, boys be over there, and we'd be in between them. And the girls be over here, the boys be over here, you know. And then the girls would be over here, hey, y'all, and the boy would be over here, hey, I love you, hollering across at each other. I finally stuck my head out the thing. I said, y'all shut up! I say, oh, nice, preacher, real nice. Hey, 3 o'clock in the morning, my patience is gone. My patience is on the pillow where I'm supposed to be. I learned after I hit 27, 28, 29 years old, I don't care to stay up that late anymore. I really don't care now that I'm a dad and 33 years old. I really don't care to stay up that late. In fact, if it's 10 o'clock and I ain't heading toward the bed, something's wrong with me. But listen, I can't tell you how many times there we have to go and knock on them tent doors and kick the tent and unzip it and cram my head in there. And, y'all wake up! Breakfast is ready! Come on, let's go! You give me 5 more minutes, preacher. All the time! 5 more minutes, preacher. They weren't even capable of a coherent thought, let alone ask me for 5 more minutes. But you know what? Whenever they finally got up, it got me to thinking, man, how many times the Holy Spirit of God's got to come by and shake me to my core, and how many hundreds of times He walks by to shake and say, wake up! It's a personal thing because He tells them in verse 14, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest. It's a personal thing, individual. It's not a group. It's a personal thing. But then, and he says awake thou that sleepest. He puts it very pressingly in the present because he says, awake now. Don't wait. You don't need to know. 5 more minutes? No, listen. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. There ain't no telling how much you might be wasting by giving Him another minute. Just give me a minute, Lord. Kind of everybody knows a story about the guy who, well, Lord, if a day with you is 1,000 years, wouldn't that mean a minute's like 100 years? Yeah, about like that. Would that mean a penny be like $1 million? Yeah, that'd be about right. Lord, can I have a penny? Yeah, give me a minute. The Lord's shaking people, and He's been shaking them. I mean, He's really been shaking for about 6 months. Wake up. You're asleep at the wheel. You're fixing to wreck. He's been shaking them and shaking them and shaking them. Saying, listen, I love you, And I don't want you to hurt yourself or anybody else. Wake up. You know, if people cared enough about other folks more than what they do, they'd go out and tell them, say, listen, I don't want you to get hurt, and I don't want you, and I'm not trying to get you upset at me, and I ain't trying to get you mad at me. I just want you to know you need to wake up. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life, I don't know the situation you're in, and I don't know who you might be involved with or who you might be dealing with. I don't know the details of your personal life, but I'm here to tell you, if you've got your head in the lap of sin like Samson, or you've got yourself connected with a place like Jacob, or you've got yourself wearied from following like the disciples, or you've got yourself missing the calling of God because you were asleep like young Samuel, he didn't miss the call, but people are missing it. I'm here to tell you, you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Why? The day is far spent. The day of the Lord is nigh at hand. And the day is far spent. And I'll give you the result here. He says in the end of the verse, he says, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. And what? And Christ shall give thee light. He'll give you light. But you're going to have to wake up. Amen. Let's bow our heads.